So I'll get an in-mail from somebody and not really give a shit about it. But to somebody else, it's like, this is important. Take a look at it. And I look at it and it's like a pitch. I don't want a pitch.
Nobody wants a pitch. And I don't know why they think that continuing to follow those methods are going to produce results when they're not.
Where do we start this? An answer doesn't matter. We're having a good time. Right.
He couldn't wait to get in here.
You need sales balls to make sales calls.
I'm tweeting that puppy.
Okay. Hi, everybody, and welcome to the greatest podcast on earth.
Woo woo!
This is Sell or Die, the premier sales and personal development podcast. My name is Jeffrey Gittimer. I wrote The Little Red Book of Selling and The Sales Manifesto.
And I'm Jen Gleckel, founder and author of Sales in a New York Minute. Welcome to Sell or Die. Thank you for pushing play today. We are so grateful for you, our diehard you.
Yep.
This is why we do this stuff. So,
and there's thousands and thousands of you.
I just heard a cool stat, actually. Adam was telling me, our new producer, Adam, who freaking rocks, was telling me that we hit like 36 in on the top charts in entrepreneurship.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And you guys, we're getting real close to 2 million downloads. So we need your help. Please
send
share
this to
this.
Your friends. Yeah.
Yeah. And like, where are the reviews, people?
Yeah.
Like, not to be a little needy here, but some of you have been sending me the nicest messages on the planet on Instagram, and I'm so grateful for them. Don't get me wrong, but like, if you could hook us up on iTunes, that really helps get this show out there.
We have a big guest today, Melanie Dodaro. I've known her for years. She has changed countries.
Yeah.
And it's pretty amazing when you change countries. But what it proves is that if you have a digital business, you can take it anywhere.
Yeah.
And it doesn't, no one knows where the hell you are. Like, you don't know where we are right now. We're in Tahiti. No, we're in Jersey. No, we're in Charlotte. Doesn't matter. No one cares. No one cares where you are. They only care who you are and what you say.
And her thing is LinkedIn, right? She's a renowned social media expert, and she uses LinkedIn as the vehicle to help.
An attractor and a value giver.
Yeah, and she uses LinkedIn to drive more sales and help others drive more sales. And the cool thing about LinkedIn is like that power of social connection can really be from anywhere. Like when you're connected socially to people, think about like your camp friends. They came from all over, right? Or people you met over the summertime, like they would come from all over. And growing up, it was probably hard to stay in touch with them because you didn't have cell phones. Oh, I'm going to make you sound really old. I'm sorry.
Yeah, exactly.
You didn't have cell phones.
Think about your camp friends.
You didn't have
WhatsApp.
Wait
a minute. Who went to camp?
You didn't have Instagram and social media.
It was the phone. It was the phone.
Yeah. Oh, you had a phone?
No, you don't have a phone. You had a phone in your house. You picked up the receiver and you dialed somebody. Or you went to a payphone. You put a quarter in.
I gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah. But like now,
boom.
Right, the power of social connection and staying in touch is so freaking easy.
Now, our 10-year-old daughter texts us from one end of the house to the other. So the world has gotten closer through texting and through phoning and through DMs and IMs. But the bottom line is, how are you staying in touch to be attractive to other people? So I literally found Melanie because she found me on LinkedIn, messaged me on LinkedIn, created a couple of value things for me, told me a couple of things I could do. And I go, wow, thanks. So then she had a show. I went on the show, and we just maintained a friendship. And one day, a little while ago, she said, oh, by the way, I've moved to Amsterdam. Okay. And you don't realize that. It doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter where you are. I think that's the total cool part about digital.
We're going to get to her episode in a minute. But first, Jeffrey, I want to publicly commend you because
I deserve it.
I have been so impressed. And this is not just like wifey talking right now. This is like business colleague. No. What's the word?
Bullshit.
No. No.
Self-aggrandizement.
Oh, shit.
Brown nosing.
I'm not biased. Okay?
I'm not prejudiced. I'm not biased.
I'm not like just saying this. This is because I have sat in the audience and in the studio booth room watching you give these virtual seminars?
Well, we did the $1 million sales process, and then we did attitude and belief, and the last one is going to be on referrals, and I'm literally putting that together right now. It's killer. You're going to understand more about referrals in 1 hour than you knew in the first 10 years of sales.
But seeing the formulas and the frameworks that you have created, yeah, and seeing how far you have pushed your content, like, you guys, this is not old stuff. This is not stuff that Jeffrey has been teaching for years and years and years. And you know, teaching someone how to create a competitive advantage is so freaking powerful. Teaching someone the formula to self-confidence, the formula to selling more through these frameworks that you've created in this process is amazing.
And just so, teaching somebody about creativity is worth the entire price of admission.
Oh, hell yeah. And so we as a team have decided to take your virtual seminar series and turn it into a course that we are going to be selling for double what these virtual seminar series tickets are selling for right now.
Whoa.
So, listen, you guys, and anyone who's already bought a ticket is going to have lifetime access. So there's one more live virtual seminar coming up where Jeffrey's going to be talking about referrals. And I highly recommend you jump on that bandwagon because you're going to have lifetime access. And this baby is only going to keep getting better and better and better.
Let me give you something to think about. Everyone asks for referrals. Everyone tries to get referrals. Everyone's looking for the secret sauce to be able to get referrals, but nobody understands the basic fundamental of, are you referable? How referable are you? And what are those elements? And that's part of what I'm going to talk about. And it is never taught anywhere. No one ever understands it because your boss has a foot up your ass to talk about it. Ask for a referral. As soon as you make the sale, ask for a referral. And I'm going to talk to you about going a little bit slower and quadrupling any referral opportunity that you have simply by applying some simple procedures to your process. And if that ain't worth it, I don't know what is. My recommendation is there'll be a link in these show notes somewhere to click on it.
Oh, yeah, for sure, for sure. All right, so let's get to it. It's time for Melanie Dodaro. All right, diehards, Melanie Dodaro is an internationally renowned social media expert. She's the CEO of Top Dog Social Media.
I love Top Dog.
She's the author of LinkedIn Unlocked, Unlock the Mystery of LinkedIn to Drive More Sales Through Social Selling. Melanie has been interviewed by ABC, Inside Edition,
That's a Canadian broadcasting company.
Yeah. New York People, Post.
Anything north of Montana, we have no fucking idea what it is.
I'm like, see, is that a typo? Okay, got it. Huffington Post and the Toronto Sun. Please help me welcome Melanie.
Hey, Melanie.
Hi, Jonathan, Jennifer. How are you guys?
Welcome to Sell or Die. We should divulge to the audience that we already know Melanie, and she's a smart woman, so we decided to have her on again. But here's the deal. She left Canada. Like, she's no longer a Canadian resident, although she probably still has her Canadian citizenship. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, you can never lose your Canadian citizenship when you were born in there.
Oh, really? So can you get dual citizenship?
I do have dual citizenship, yes. I actually have a dual UK, British citizenship and Canadian. So
way to go.
The UK gave me a EU passport for now until Brexit.
Yeah, exactly. And you're going to have to go to lunch.
That's pretty cool, though.
Yeah.
Wow. Did that take a long time?
No, my mom was actually born in England, so I was eligible for it. But it did take about 7 months from filling out the paperwork to getting it.
All right, so let's talk about you. When did you first know that you wanted to be an entrepreneur?
Oh, my goodness. Well, I've been an entrepreneur for 20 years now. I think I spent my last year in a corporate job back in 20 years ago. And throughout that year, I started investigating businesses and franchises and trying to figure out how in the world can I get out of this
crappy job.
Right. Yeah. And so I did. I ventured into owning a number of franchises for, gosh, almost 15 years through Eastern and Western Canada. Sold them all. And then went into digital. So everything, basically an online business. And the rest is history.
So did you start using social media when you owned those franchise businesses? Or what, if not, when did you start?
Yeah, I started off right after that. I was working on a book at the time, and I thought, this might be a good, you know, a good medium to promote a book, because let's face it, I mean, a book's $20. And, you know, what I was selling with my franchise businesses, you know, the products and services were, you know, in the thousands of dollars. So there was an advertising budget there. There's a very little advertising budget if the only thing that you're selling is a $20 book.
Correct.
So it required a different way of thinking.
And how did you win that? How did you decide that, you know, how many books did you sell, or how did you go about advertising it in social media?
Yeah, so it wasn't about the books, because that's what made me start researching it. So I didn't actually start doing it, but that's how it started. Basically, what happened is I just started doing it to really learn it. And I started getting, you know, as other people would say, pretty good at it. And some business owners would reach out to me and say, you know, Melanie, I really like what you're doing with Facebook or Twitter or LinkedIn. Can you help me out? And so I'd go and I'd help them out. And I was, you know, I'm passionate about helping other business owners. So it was just a natural fit. And I thought, you know, I really should start a business here. So that's kind of how it started. And then it quickly transitioned into where LinkedIn became one of my primary focuses. And that was because the types of businesses that I was working with were B2B. And I thought, you know, it just makes sense. If we're going to be focusing on B2B, why not focus on the best business platform? And so I really steered, you know, in the beginning, well, not in the beginning, but in the early days, I steered about 50% of my attention to LinkedIn. And now it's closer to about 80%.
Wow.
And is it still, you know, we're now in 2019, for those of you listening at the turn of the century. Is it still the business platform? Is there any, do you see any fall off? Do you see anything in the future that's going to overtake it?
I absolutely do not. And that's a great question, because, you know, that's something that I always look at with everything that's coming out. And, you know, I mean, you guys probably get approached by new platforms and tools on a regular basis. And my answer is always, I just adopt a wait and see attitude. If it can't prove itself in 6 months to a year, I'm not going to spend my time investing to see if it's going to be a success. LinkedIn, you know, LinkedIn continues to gain momentum, and momentum at a higher pace than they used to have. So it's probably one of the only social platforms that has such longevity and continued and consistent momentum with a higher upswing of momentum right now.
So when you log in, what's your routine like? What do you do when you get inside?
So, you know, one of the things that's interesting is, you know, there's a lot of uproar right now about LinkedIn being, you know, kind of following the footsteps of LinkedIn with less visibility. So less people are seeing your posts and so forth. And, you know, I think that content marketing is super important. We're all content marketers here. But too much emphasis, I think, is placed on it sometimes, where, you know, it's kind of more of a hope and pray marketing form, where, you know, we're posting content and hoping somebody's going to see it, and then hoping somebody's going to engage with it, and then maybe reach out to us for our products or services. Where what I focus on with LinkedIn is much more of a proactive approach. So it's more of an outreach marketing. So where you can control your results. And Jeffrey, you know, you're the king of sales. And sales is about controlling your results. And, you know, back in the day, and you know, many companies are still doing this. They're picking up the phone and dialing. And there's still maybe a place for that in some organizations and in some cultures. And others, there's different approaches, such as LinkedIn and social selling. And, you know, I think that that's where the key lies to having consistent and predictable results. Now, should you share content? Absolutely. You want to stay top of mind with the network that you build. You want to build thought leadership. And so it's important, but it's less important than people think.
What's more important than that?
Outreach. Controlling your results.
When you make outreach, what does that look like?
Yeah, so it looks like finding your ideal prospects. So going through a LinkedIn's advanced search for those that are sales professionals, they're probably investing in Sales Navigator, whether they're through their company or themselves. Sales Navigator's got
such an unbelievable, robust advanced search functionality. Finding those prospects, you know, saving them as leads, engaging with them, looking at what they share in terms of content, sending that connection request, sending a follow-up message that, you know, starts to build rapport, adding some value to them. And once you've earned enough, you know, you've earned enough trust, essentially, you've built enough rapport, then you can ask to move that conversation offline. The problem is that most salespeople and many business owners, they rush the sale. So they'll do the connection request and immediately after send the pitch message. And we know how successful that is. So yeah, it's about
the
building.
Answer is, it's not. If I connect with somebody, you know, I accept people. I'm at the end of my acceptance now. I'm at 29,000 connections. And so now I just have to have people follow me, which is the another strategy of LinkedIn. But the bottom line is I'll get an in-mail from somebody and not really give a shit about it. But to somebody else, it's like, this is important. Take a look at it. And I look at it and it's like a pitch. I don't want a pitch.
Nobody wants a pitch.
Yeah. If somebody would say, hey, I've been studying sales for 10 years and these are the five things I found that are really cool, I would love that in-mail. No one has ever done
but
that.
But for me, the problem is like it's all spam, or it feels like it's all spam in my email box that I don't even, or in my inbox on LinkedIn, that I just like glance at them so quick that if there was something important there, I'd probably miss it because it's 98% spam and they're ruining it for everyone else.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. I always say there's basically 99% of LinkedIn users make up these three types of, you know, criteria or users. The first is the sales pitcher, and we all know who they are and we all dislike them. And I don't know why they think that continuing to, you know, follow those methods are going to produce results when they're not. The second type is the ghost. And these are the people that might not be that active on LinkedIn. They send a connection request or they receive one and then they never have a conversation with that person again. So there's no dialogue whatsoever. The third one is the social butterfly. And these are the people that are spending endless amounts of hours on social media, whether it's LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter. They're engaging and engaging and engaging, but they're never moving those to phone conversations and sales appointments. And so the key is to become a strategist and to look at how you can start really, that initial message needs to be so simple. You know, first of all, I'm sure that most people aren't going to try to sell you something about business or sales related, Jeffrey. But, you know, if they were to reach out to you and want to start a dialogue with you and just start to have a conversation, you know, they could simply ask you a really, really simple question saying, hey, you know, thanks so much for connecting with me on LinkedIn. I really appreciate it. I've been admiring your work for, you know, the last decade or however long. I have one quick question for you. If you were to give one piece of advice to a brand new sales professional today, what would you say?
I would rather them ask me, which one of your books do you think is the best one for me to buy?
Yeah, I mean, exactly. Any question at all that gets you to give them an answer that's really simple, that doesn't require much of your time, right? So just a simple one to just start a quick conversation. And I mean, you know, reaching out to a thought leader like yourself is very different than them reaching out to their ideal prospect, which in most cases is not going to be a thought leader.
I want to ask you one thing. When you're doing the advanced searching, do titles matter?
So advanced search, it really depends who's your target market. So if your target market is a very specific type of person, it's a director of marketing, or it's a, you know, VP of sales, or then the title is helpful in terms of being able to target those people. But if you're talking about your own title, that's a different story.
You know, so, I want to look at it from a salesperson. We have diehards who listen. Mm-hmm. And they're going to go out and search somebody for on LinkedIn to try to get a meeting with somebody or to try to get a connection with somebody, and they should be searching for the title of the person that they ultimately want to sell.
Yeah.
Or somebody higher.
Yeah, absolutely. And they should be searching all the different parameters that are available to them, because the more targeted you get that search. So, you know, if you're focusing on specific industries or geography and titles, seniority level, all those kind of things. So the more specific you get in the search, the less time you're going to waste. Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing who pops up. I mean, I look at my own stuff and I'll search for like sales manager and thousands pop up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, literally thousands pop up. So I know my connections are the right targeted connections. And then I'm going to be doing a series of public seminars. Jen and I are going to go on the road. And those are our targets.
Yeah, the more targeted you can get, the better it is, because you know, you still have to filter through those searches. And so using Boolean search, for example, is also really effective, whether you're using a free LinkedIn account or Sales Navigator. You know, one of the things is that if you're searching for business owners, for example, if you're a sales professional and business owners are your target market, you might want to exclude people that say coach and consultant. So, you know, business owner, owner, founder, not consultant, not coach. Weed out all those, you know, in one person businesses that are may not be your target market.
Did you know that this podcast is now a part of the Sell or Die Network, a network of the best podcasts on sales, business, and personal development? You do now. The Sell or Die Podcast Network is committed to bringing you podcasts that will help you become more successful and more fulfilled. Whether you're on the treadmill, at work, or in traffic, the Sell or Die Podcast Network will help you learn more and earn more in a New York minute. All you need to do is visit sellordienetwork.com and make our podcasts a part of your daily success routine. I want to go back to the connecting way. Like, our diehards are always asking us, how do I establish that real connection? And you talked about being the strategist, but how do you... what are your recommendations for making that actual connection and then taking them offline?
Yeah. So the first thing is to always make it about them. You know, I get tons of connection requests from people that start telling me about themselves all in the connection request message. I have 15 years of experience in this and blah, blah, blah. Well, who cares? Nobody cares.
Right.
You know, at the end of the day, we have to remember that nobody cares about us. They only care about how we can help them. And so...
No, we care about you, Melanie. I swear to God. We were just talking, Jen and I were talking in the elevator about how much we genuinely care about.
Well, you know what? You have endorsed both of my books on LinkedIn, so I do appreciate you so much. So yeah, you know, always make it about them, you know, and it's as simple as you want it to be. I mean, compliments always work, whether you're complimenting them or their company or their career. You know, really looking at how can you take everything from their perspective and not yours.
Let me give you an example, diehards. We're going to promote our public seminars, and I could send a message out to all of my connections and say, please attend my seminar, or I could send an article that I've written about how to attend a seminar and get the most out of it. And that would how to have a great sales meeting. And that's going to attract every single sales manager. They're going to go, who is this guy? Or what's going on? And they click on something, or I put a link at the bottom of it, and I'll sell a bunch of tickets as a result of it. Way more than I would have if I would have said, please buy a ticket.
Yeah, education is so important. It's, you know, people are just so busy rushing the sale in every possible way and alienating people when, you know, you need to provide value. So it's the value in advance that's going to make the difference. You know, and I think, and I really, one of the concerns I have for LinkedIn, quite honestly, is a lot of Facebookers, if you will, have moved over there because they're frustrated with Facebook for one reason or another. Specifically, usually people that are using it for business because nobody's seeing their posts. And so a lot of them are approaching LinkedIn the way that they did Facebook. And so it will start to, over time, as people do that, people will be scrolling through the newsfeed less, right? So it's going to be those one-to-one conversations and connections that are going to make the most impact and the biggest difference. You know, social media has always been noisy, but now it's getting frustrating. Because there's, you know, the political divisiveness that's happening, the hatred and just there's a lot of, you know, not so nice posts out there.
Wait, when did that happen?
Yeah.
Plus the fluff, you know, the endless fluff that people are just tired of. And so I think people...
There's a lot of angry people online.
Yeah, there are.
There really is.
They're marching in the street and they should... be making sales calls.
And so do you recommend like for people to stand out from the news feed to then use LinkedIn ads?
Well, no, and yes. It depends on who you are. It depends on your company. LinkedIn ads are very expensive. So, you got to have a significantly big budget. And the more targeted you go and the higher up you're going in the food chain, you know, in terms of a company.
What's a big budget? How much would you have to invest on a monthly basis?
Unless you're spending a minimum of $10,000 a month, it's probably not worth your time. And unless your product or service is worth a minimum of $15,000, it's probably not worth your time.
So what do you think about video? How much time should be spent on video versus text?
You know, I think that video is a fantastic medium to use. Some people might be inclined to use it a little bit too quickly. And I think that video is best once you have a little bit of a dialogue. Maybe it's one or two, you know, quick dialogues back and forth, where then they're more apt to actually open the video and watch it.
Yeah, I think LinkedIn for video, I'm going to start to use it a lot more than I'm doing right now because I want to engage my followers.
Oh, you're talking about posting videos.
Like LinkedIn Live and LinkedIn videos and stuff like that.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, LinkedIn videos is where Facebook videos was, you know, 6 years ago.
Right.
So there's a tremendous opportunity for it. Whenever something is new, LinkedIn's going to show it in the newsfeed much more so than they're going to show any other post. So absolutely take advantage of it. I thought you were talking about video directly to your, you know, using video messages to your individual contacts.
No, I think with all my connections and all my followers, I underutilize LinkedIn. I totally underutilize it. And I think that every diehard out there is going to go, yep, me too.
Yeah.
Yep, me too.
Yep.
And so you wake up in the morning and you give some value to some customer someplace and they'll find you. They'll find you. This is my idea for the day. If you're a B2B salesperson and you're selling to a manufacturing client, where's your safety tip?
Yes, absolutely. Make sure that the content is super highly relevant to them. You know, and so if you've got five different industries or you know, two different industries, three, however many that you're targeting, have specific content for them. You know, I always use an example of, okay, so I teach LinkedIn. So, you know, I have a unique situation where I attract almost everybody. I teach governments around the world. I teach corporations, small businesses. I teach everybody, which is very weird. And it's not exactly strategic, right?
Well,
but it's just
Melanie, wait a second. You're Canadian. You were born weird. It's just part of the deal.
Oh,
isn't
Jeffrey.
It? Jeffrey.
Yeah, you're so welcome.
I take that as a compliment.
Of course.
Yes, you should.
Okay, so
but you know, I could create a piece of content that says, you know, the LinkedIn blueprint to grow your business. But if my target market was financial advisors, for example, or the financial services industry, I could then create a piece of content that would be highly relevant to them. So it would say their name and it would speak to their, you know, their industry in it and the biggest problem that they have, the financial advisor's guide to attracting high net worth individuals. They all want that. Right?
Yeah.
Speaking specifically to them. So if you're targeting a manufacturing company, a specific manufacturing tip or piece of content, video, article, whatever it is.
Huh. That's good.
That's interesting. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
And for those of you who are diehards looking to connect on LinkedIn, I post something valuable every day, just a short one line quote.
Mm-hmm.
And I get sometimes one, sometimes 25 comments on it, not likes, comments. And I'm chastised by my own company because all I go in and like them, but I'm supposed to be commenting on them. They're like, if I commented on them, my world would be so much better. So I'm starting to make it a point now to throw in a couple of words, not simply
engage.
Yeah.
Right.
Not simply hit the thumbs up button. But I don't want to not acknowledge, like I acknowledge everybody. I get an email notification and I go back in and I click in and I click a thumbs up. And sometimes I know the person, so I will, you know, throw in a few words of hello. But for the most part, I don't. Should somebody who gets a lot of that stuff, should we hire someone to do that?
Again, this isn't your target audience. We're talking about you now, right? So this isn't going to be a problem that your target, you know, the people that are listening to this podcast are going to have, they should be engaging with the people that are commenting on their posts. Should you be engaging with every single one? No, you don't need to. Especially when people are like, hey, great post. I think what I do is I engage with the people that write a thoughtful comment, you know, that have really taken some time and written a thoughtful comment. All the people that are like, yeah, like.
I almost feel guilty when I don't. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. This guy took the time to write something, and I need to at least thank him with some words.
Well, how does that impact the algorithm when people engage with the people who are engaging with their stuff?
Yeah, it does. So when the more people that are engaging with your posts, the more people that will ultimately see it, because now their network's going to see it. In addition to that, the people that are engaging with your posts are more likely to see future posts. Mm. So it is helpful.
I had a guy yesterday on LinkedIn said, this is so good. I sent this out to 2,000 people.
Yeah.
And that's what you want.
Yeah. One thing that I always do, always without fail is, and I don't engage with every single person that comments on my posts because, you know, if they've written, hey, great article or great post or, you know, thanks so much for that, I just do the, you know, the like button as well. But whenever somebody shares my content, I always go and say, hey, thanks so much for sharing that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's an easy one. It's a good one. Cool. Anything else our diehards should consider when they're getting into LinkedIn in terms of how they can use it strategically to build their sales?
Or better stated, they're in it and they don't use it.
Yeah.
You know, people have 645 connections and they don't do shit. Right. And that's most people.
Yeah. So they're the ghosts, right? So they're the ones that are, you know, have a profile or maybe adding some connections here and there and are magically expecting business to appear. And all I have to say to you is that business is not going to magically appear. You have to do something for it. So it's like, you know, going to a networking event, collecting rich business cards, coming home, putting them in your drawer and never following up. Nothing's going to happen.
I've done that.
You know, you
have everyone's done that.
Everyone's done that, of course. Yeah. So you have to do something with those connections. So you don't want to be the ghost. You don't want to be the sales pitcher. You also don't want to be the social butterfly. So you want to find that, you know, that balance of, you know, really being targeted in who you're connecting to, the conversations that you're having and so forth. And, you know, the best digital strategy is a human one.
Yeah, I agree with that. I totally agree with that. At some point, you got to get face to face or make a phone call or have a conversation someplace.
Call. Yep.
Social networking is one thing, but face to face networking is quite another. But if I've already done something, then I'm recognizable.
Yeah.
At least by my content. I'm very blessed that I get recognized a lot where I go because someone's read my book and someone sees me or something. And they come up to thank me because they did something or they read something or they were impacted in some way. And any salesperson can do exactly the same thing if they decide they're going to do it. But this is the key word to me. The key word is patience. You know, I didn't.
Consistency.
Yeah.
Yeah. Patience and consistency. I agree, Melanie. I've spent 25 years at this and someone's going to go, yeah, well, it's easy for you. No, it's not easy for me. I fucking worked my ass off. And the average salesperson has a quota and a boss with a foot up his ass.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to have to somehow get out of that by mastering your quota, by mastering your principles and building your own brand so that at some point you branch off and people find you for who you are or who you want to become based on what you post.
Yeah.
And there's tons of ways to do that now. I mean, you know, you think about it, we're very blessed in that we have this ability to, you know, network online. But ultimately, what I always say is that the whole entire goal of social selling, there's only one goal to it, and that's to book calls. But warm calls instead of cold calls.
Jen, that's a wake-up call for anybody who uses LinkedIn that they are not taking the power that LinkedIn really offers and putting it to use.
Yeah, for sure.
Every time we can get a LinkedIn expert on here, we're going to do it.
We've
got Bryn Tillman.
Listen, you guys need to listen to this episode again and then go back and listen to Bryn Tillman's episode again as well, because they're both giving you LinkedIn strategies that are going to help you make more sales, better LinkedIn connections, more sales.
LinkedIn is sales. LinkedIn is leads. LinkedIn is opportunities. LinkedIn's money in your pocket, and you're not using it. You're not using the power of it. And you have to develop a LinkedIn strategy and stick to it. You just can't have, well, I have 1,100 connections. Well, you don't do shit with them. And what do you expect? Well, I expect them to reach out and want to buy something from me at any moment. No, you have to give a reason for them to connect with you.
Yeah.
There has to be some kind of value offering in order for that to be able to happen. Just follow my LinkedIn. You're all connected with me. Just follow what I do on a daily basis and see how many people react to my stuff and post comments about my stuff. Those are all leads.
Hell yeah. All right, guys, follow us, connect with us on LinkedIn. And until next time, I'm Jen Gluckow.
I'm Jeffrey Gittimer. I'm reminding you to LinkedIn out there and make a couple sales, even if your ass falls off.
This has been a presentation of the Sell or Die Network. For more podcasts that you can take out into the street and turn into money, visit sellordienetwork.com.